Welcome to church this morning. It's good to see you all here. I want to just open in prayer first. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word. Lord, for the Holy Spirit to speak to us individually and corporately as a church. Lord, I pray you would minister to our hearts and to our minds and bring peace where there is chaos and, Lord, clarity so we might see the way forward in you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Kia ora te whānau. Last week we began our journey through this series, Anchored in Christ. And we started with being rooted in truth, learning that if our lives aren't anchored in Christ, they'll be swept away by every new wave that comes along. Truth keeps us grounded, nourished, and steadfast. This week, we move to what I consider the next kind of anchor about being anchored in Christ, and that is being formed in community. Formed in community. That's the name of my message, the title for my message this morning. And if you could turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. We're going to read from verse 42 to verse 47 in Acts chapter 2. Right, I think we're all pretty close to that. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through to 47. And there'll be a couple of bits I want to highlight a few bits out of that passage. And the first is, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, comma, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All right, and then we continue further on. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Together and had everything in common. If the first message that we preached this month was about depth, this one is about togetherness. God has not called us to live as isolated believers, but as a whānau, a family formed in Christ. Hastings Church isn't just a group of people who happen to meet in the same building on a Sunday. We're a community being shaped by God for His purpose. Not for mine, for His purpose. You see, in God's design, community is not an optional extra. Oh boy, I wish it was. And my personal nature is I have a really strong desire to be very private, to essentially live in isolation. If you were to come to my home on most days, each of my children is in their room with the door closed, and I'm in my office with the door ajar, while Sarah bounces between us trying to get our attention. She's very good at it, though, I must admit. And we have dogs who don't care what you want. But in God's design, community is not an optional extra. It is the soil in which faith grows. And that's what we see in Acts chapter 2. In that passage, that's what we're seeing. Community is not an optional extra. So, what's my first point? Well, belonging shapes becoming. Belonging shapes becoming. Luke tells us that the early believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. They didn't just attend. They devoted themselves. The Greek word used here, proskaterio, I have to check with my biblical scholar over here, my walking dictionary, means to persist, to hold fast, to continue steadfastly. They didn't dabble in community. It wasn't a side hustle to do some community stuff. They committed to it. They were devoted to this community. In that devotion, something happened. They became a people who mirrored Jesus. Belonging shaped their becoming. So they belonged to this group of believers and they demonstrated Christ amongst themselves and to others. That's what they did. They mirrored Jesus. We live in a world that celebrates independence. Most people will tell you Adam and Eve were the first true independent seekers and freedom fighters because they disobeyed God. We have a lot of you do you. You do what you feel is best. Look after number one. That's what we're telling everybody. Take care of you. You need some time out. You need some time off. You need to take care of yourself and be feeling happy all the time. You look after yourself. But that actually is not the gospel story at all. It says, the gospel says, you belong to Christ and you belong to one another. That's the gospel message. You belong to Christ and you belong to one another. Here in Hastings, we know what belonging looks like here. We see it at our tables after the service on a Sunday. When people linger over lunch. We see it at Kuhumai when our community gathers for a shared breakfast or dinner or just to hang out. People from all walks of life sitting together, eating, laughing, praying, that's fellowship. That's the gospel in action. That's where people are seeing Jesus. Did you know that? They're not seeing him when I stand up the front. We all know of, you know, the bonfires on the beach we all enjoy over in Napier, or perhaps you've got a fire pit at home. But, you know, when you're looking at those things, you're looking at it, and you can see the embers glowing and the flames, and it's a really cool kind of feeling. The coals are glowing brightly. And they're all kind of gathered together and these little sparkles are coming out and all that sort of stuff is going on. But if you pull one of them out on its own, it quickly kind of goes cold and black. The same is true of our faith, our personal individual faith. That's the same when we stay close to others. And I'm not saying close to a more holy person. I just mean close to one another. I'm not talking about exclusion where you go, I'm going to be close to just the really hot ones. Take that however you will. I want to stay close to just the hot ones. No, stay close to one another. Why? Because you might be the link that this person who's feeling colder needs. If you're only looking to be close to the coolest ones, the more holy ones, the ones that seem to know the Bible best, the ones that make me look like I'm a good person, if you're only focused on those kinds of people, you may find that you become more isolated more quickly. In this early church, there was a devotion to one another. There's a devotion to each other and to the community in which God had placed them. And in that was a mutual experience of growing hot and glowing. When we isolate ourselves, our spiritual warmth begins to fade. I can tell. When I am being isolated, I become isolated. My spiritual warmth, the sense of the Holy Spirit at work in my life goes cool and fades. And the people around me, I become more annoying to me. So I'm not full of this heart of God. And I begin to, as I'm getting colder, I'm becoming less and less inclined to connect with the community. Oh, so-and-so. And I start complaining about everybody in it. Oh, so-and-so was annoying me the other day, and oh, so-and-so wouldn't be quiet, and so-and-so didn't do this, and blah, blah, blah. And to me, I know that's because my heart is becoming spiritually cold. And so everything around me starts to annoy me. You see, the more alive in the spirit I am, it doesn't matter how many interruptions I get, I feel like it's just another opportunity for God to do something. Which is strange because I normally like everything to be so completely ordered and everything in its place. To suddenly enjoy the chaos of interruption seems completely foreign to me, and it is because it's God's love at work in my heart. So here's what I want you to take away. Belonging shapes becoming. Who and how we walk with one another determines who we become. Okay? Awesome. Point number two. Let's be really clear here that every part matters. Every part. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 that we are one body with many parts. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Each of us is vital to the life of the church. Each of us. Now, some of you, one of the things that you'll get to enjoy if you come to our AGM with the partners of the church is when people talk about the church needs to do blah. The church needs to do da 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 da. And the church needs to blah 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 and treat me and do this and blah. And I'm like, great, that sounds awesome. Here's my question, who's the church? Is it me? So then I kind of go, well, you realize we don't actually have any employed staff at the church. I think we employ somebody for about 2 hours a week to help with a few things. I'm not employed by the church. Caleb's not employed by the church. I get a little allowance because I have an office. So who's the church? Yeah, we all are, right? So when we say the church needs to do blah, are you putting your hand up to say you're going to do it? Because if not, then why ask the church? Because it's you. Am I still got Easter with me? Okay, good. Every part matters. In 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul says that we're all one body with many parts, he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Each of us is vital to the life of the church. Some of us are the visible parts. And some of us would love to be just the visible parts. That's what people think is what church is about. I'll do the things that I'm visible doing. Some of us are the visible parts, the ones up front. Others are quieter, the ones who make the meals, visit the sick, pray faithfully behind the scenes. But every single part is essential. I think of our volunteers during the week, those who open the hall, prepare kai, drive people, clean the bathrooms, serve behind the scenes. They may not have a microphone like I have right now, but they carry the heartbeat of Jesus. Right? Without them, hear me out, without all of these people volunteering of themselves and their time, without them serving God obediently, perhaps to no applause, no recognition, no praise, to all of those people, without those people, this church stops being church. I could still preach every Sunday, but this would stop being church. We could still have a worship service on a Sunday, it would just stop being the church. Community also isn't about sameness. It isn't about homogeneity. It isn't about making everything alike. It's about the unity found in that diversity. It's about bringing our different gifts and bringing our different experiences and bringing our different stories, Māori, Pākehā, Pacifica, and beyond, and discovering how they fit together in Christ. I love that in Revelation, it is very clear that in that vision, he sees every nation, every tribe, and every tongue worshiping the Lord. He doesn't see everybody. It's not a singular group of people. It is a diverse expanse of humanity across generations, different cultures, different languages, different musical forms, different dances. What is incredible to me is that God knows how to perfectly harmonize every single language and dialect and musical style and dance and voice type to sound in harmony and unison worship to the King of Kings. That to me is only possible with God. And yet in the church, we have the opportunity to mirror some of that. Perhaps instead of when you're looking at the te reo of the song, instead of standing there translating it into English and then waiting for the English bit to open your mouth, you learn the te reo words and perhaps understand what they mean. So that when you're singing them understanding the perspective of another culture who is worshiping God with you. Just a thought. It's about discovering how we fit together in Christ. That's whanaungatanga, right? That's koinonia, right? The deep spiritual fellowship the early church shared. Koinonia. That's whanaungatanga. People who say to me that Christianity is a white man's religion, I say, I'm sorry, white people have been trying to steal it for ages. It's still God's religion. We live. I want you to think of a garden. Each plant in that garden has its own shape. It has its own color. And it has its own purpose. Some give fruit. Some shade. Some just beauty. But together they create something that is living and abundant. The church is God's garden. And every one of us belongs there, providing what God has purposed us to provide. Whether it's shelter, some of you are here just to look good, because you look pretty amazing. Or is it just me that does? I'm sorry. But it's this diversity that creates this living and abundant environment of God's kingdom. I don't want to go to a church where everyone looks like me and sounds like me. That would be horrible. It'd be awful. Here's the reality, though, and hold on to this. Our community, this group of people, all of us together in this space who worship God here, all of us, this part of God's kingdom, this part of the body of Christ, is our witness, this community. The world will believe our message when they see our love. I could have the perfect message. I could deliver the perfect sermon. But if I don't love you, it means nothing. there is no point to that message. If I preach a message and I look around the room, I go, oh, I love you, I love you. Oh, not that one. I love you. I love you. Then again, it loses its power. Sorry, I was deliberately not pointing at anyone, so after, if you felt I was pointing at you, you can come and see me. I definitely wasn't. Our community, this church is our witness to the world. What we do to one another, what we do with one another, is the witness of Christ in our community. How we treat one another, how we speak to one another, how we serve selflessly one another, that's the witness of Christ. When we are looking at why we give food to people and go, oh, you know, it's such a pain having to do that. Do you know what that is? Is that showing the love of God in our midst. It's connecting us to other people and it's saying, you belong, you're welcome in this kingdom. This is what it looks like to be welcomed into the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus is like and how he treats you is what I'm doing. A community is our witness. So, how do we practice community here in Hastings? What does this mean for us right here, right now? Well, 10 years ago when I started pastoring here in Hastings, I was kind of being really super smart and asking God for the like blueprint for how to lead this church and what I needed to do so I could be prepared for the next 5 to 10 years and have all the information I needed to do all of that stuff. And God gave me this amazing plan that stretched out into eternity and it just said, love these people. I was like, that's a really terrible plan. It's not a plan at all. Like, how am I supposed to do that? What am I? And I went through all of these things, like, you know, should I have 2 services on a Sunday? What should I? And he just said, love these people. So loving these people, what is that supposed to look like? He said, figure it out. And so I spent 10 years trying to figure it out. How do I love you? I realized really fast that it was impossible for me and I needed God's help. It's like, ugh. God, this whole trying to love other people is really tough. I can't do it. He's like, I know. Yeah, he's pretty smart, old God. He's a bit smarter than I am. And he also, I think probably the smartest thing is that he knows how dumb I am. And he knows how to work with really dumb people. So what does that mean? It means that at every table we lay out, every shared meal, every time we pray or pray for one another, every act of kindness is on holy ground. It means the pocket park outside isn't just a space for recreation, it's a place of encounter with the love of God. It's an invitation for people to experience the kingdom of God in a very real and tangible way on earth, right here in Hastings. When we eat together, when we listen without judgment, when we make room for those who've been left out, we are practicing the gospel. Oh, you know, I heard this great message on Sunday and it really spoke to my heart and God, the Holy Spirit was really speaking to me and it was so true and it was so real. And then what are we going to do? I'd much rather the message was terrible and you prayed and God said, tomorrow I want you to go and ring so-and-so and maybe mow their lawn. To me, that accomplished more about spreading the gospel than if I preached the perfect sermon and you went home and said, that was incredibly challenging. Can't wait for next week. I can't wait till I get another really challenging message. I really like those. I feel bad for a couple of days, but that goes away and I can't wait for the next one. I've been there, I've done that. I'm not, put my hand up there. Some of you here this morning, and I hope there aren't many, but some of you may feel you're on the edges today. Maybe you're struggling to connect with other people, or maybe you carry hurt from past church experiences. I want to say this clearly for you. You belong here. Not because you've got it all together, but because this is what family is supposed to look like. Imperfect, honest, growing, learning together. That's what I'm trying to do, is learn and grow. So how can we possibly live this out? Give me something practical. Well, maybe. Number one, commit to community. Don't just attend, belong. Join with others during the week. Serve in some way this community, or invite someone out just for a coffee. Growth happens when you show up consistently. I hate when I miss church. I also sometimes don't want to be here. But this is my whānau. This is my home. So I commit. And when I'm away, I think about you. I pray for you. I consider you. I refer to you in conversation because you're my people. This is my whānau. This is my part of the body of Christ. And I'm committed to you. But I can tell you that commitment brings great reward. It shapes me into who God wants me to be. And I thank you to those. I'm looking at Gina at the back there. Do you know Gina was a young lady when she first started coming to this church, a very young lady, because she's not that old now, but she was very, very young when she started coming to this church. She got married here, she had children here, raised kids in this church, and then continues to serve God. Right now, she's sitting at the back there monitoring the sound and bits and pieces this morning. She served on the worship team. She's cooked food. She volunteers in the hub. She volunteers a few days a week working with our whānau. That's a commitment to community, because this community's changed over the years. 10 years ago, it actually smelled quite different. Has a whole different fragrance now. I love it. So commit to community. Number two, practice hospitality. You know, in that Acts, in the very beginning of that scripture that we read, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to what? Fellowship. And to hospitality and to looking after one another and connecting. It's mind-boggling to me how many sermons I've heard that talk about devoting themselves to the disciples' teaching and forget to finish the sentence. Number one, commit to community. Number two, practice hospitality. Open your home, your table, or even your park bench. Hospitality is a ministry of presence. It's not a ministry of how clean and tidy and beautiful your house looks and how impressed other people will be at your cooking. That isn't ministry of hospitality. Hospitality is being present. Hospitality is being generous with whatever you have. And you can practice hospitality sitting on a bench. Perhaps instead of inviting someone to your home because you're so embarrassed about how the dishes are really piled up, say, hey man, come with me. You go, you get a couple of pies, maybe some drinks, and you sit on a park bench and you just have a chat. Maybe it's just that. Practice hospitality. And hospitality is a ministry of presence, not a ministry of supply. There is no next deliverable that needs to happen. Just being present is hospitality. Sharing space. It's one of the most powerful ways to reflect who Jesus is. That's why it's evident so much in the church and so much in the early church. This hospitality, this divine hospitality that went beyond what anybody expected or understood. And there was only one reason for it, and that is because of Jesus. And the third thing, and I know this can be tough, carry one another's burdens. Look for someone who might be struggling. Do you know how often in the early days in the church I would look for people who obviously weren't struggling because I didn't want to talk to the struggling ones? They might need something from me. And so I'd studiously look over their head and go, hey, while I walked around them. Carry one another's burdens. Look for someone who might be struggling. And you know, because we're friends, and you know who they are. And they walk up to you and you know they're struggling. And you say, how are you? And they go, fine. And you go, phew, I'm off the hook. Offer prayer. Or maybe just offer some time. Maybe it's just time. Instead of rushing to get past them, maybe it's just stopping and pausing while they continue to talk. Or maybe it's that listening ear. Actually listen. Before you start offering advice and fixing the situation, perhaps you need to double the amount of time you're listening. Community is built one conversation at a time. One new piece of information you learn about someone you care about. Huh, I didn't know that Kay was a master diving instructor. Well, now you do. Imagine what would happen if everyone in our church lived and acted like Acts 2. If every person found a place to belong, a role to play, and a story to share. Imagine the ripple effect through our city, the people of God anchored in Christ, formed in community, shining light into every corner of Hastings. Imagine that. Community is messy. It takes humility, patience, and forgiveness, but it's worth it. Because when we stay in the fire together, our faith burns bright. And for those people who say, oh, I just really disagree with that, and blah, 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 and so-and-so is really wrong, blah, 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 and they go off on their own, guess which one has the opportunity to stay alight? I'm not telling you can't be unhappy with what God's doing, or you can't be unhappy with one another, but I'm saying before you run for the hills, which some of us are wont to do, before we go running off to the hills to go and try and find somewhere where they're more like me, perhaps just commit to this community. Let me conclude, because I'm running late and I need to head off to Auckland. To be anchored in Christ is to be formed in community. God shapes us through one another. Alone, we might survive. But together is where we thrive. Next week, I want to look at how being anchored in Christ means being renewed in worship. And maybe we'll have a little chat about why we even do worship and how perhaps we might want to stand up and join in instead of watching the show. And some of us may not even know that it's not a show. So we can talk about some worship next week. And how worship restores and reorients us, either changes our direction towards God and towards his heart. But today I want to leave you with this image. It's our whānau gathered around a table, breaking bread, laughing, carrying one another's burdens, listening to one another's stories, praying for one another. Do you know that's the picture of the early church? That's what the early church was known for, and it was recorded as an historical observation of the church. At the very first churches was that, the sitting together, the eating, the fellowship, the prayer. That's what God is building in us. May we be a people who are anchored in Christ, formed in community, and committed to belonging that changes lives. That's my prayer this morning. Amen. Have a fantastic lunch. I'll catch up with some of you on Tuesday, but otherwise, God bless.